Sorry for the long introduction.
Okay. I get no introductions, so that's great. Good morning. I got to tell you, there's really a sweet presence of the Lord in this church. And I sensed it in the parking lot before I even walked in. And so thank you for welcoming me here. And this is really out of my comfort zone. So this might be rough, what I'm sharing. But you know what? I feel like it's okay with you guys. So thank you for having me. And Pastor Tim's right. My son said, Mom, you're kind of like the fifth string or the third string coming in. But it's okay. It's all right. I'm good with that. And I love Julia. And if anyone of you guys know her, there's no way to say no to her. My sister knows. My sister's here with her family today. My oldest brother, who tormented me most of my life, came. He will be sure to torment me after this. My dearest friend's here with her husband and family, her mom, who's been like a mom to me, her mother-in-law, her son, who's going to college, and her nephew. So I'm just grateful to have everybody here today. I am a mom. I have three grown children, two boys and a girl. And me and my husband have been married for 32 years. And the only thing I can really say, we've known each other since we were 14, is I don't know what I did to deserve him. I don't know what I did. I love him so much, and I'm just so grateful that we walk through these things together. And my family's been beside me, and we have a great amount of love. So I just thank you for being here today. Pastor Tim is like so chill. And when he called me, I was so hyper. I'm like, I've never done this. I don't know what to say. And he's like, it's okay. Don't worry about it, Lisa. And it's just like, So I'm used to loud people. So if you're loud, that's okay. I like that. My family is very loud. We yell everything through. So, just before I begin, I did share a short encouraging word with Pastor as I was praying for this church before I came today. I was just praying as for this body. The Lord really put on my heart that there's going to be really a resurgence and a harvest here. I think that there's going to be a harvest in God's kingdom anyways. But he also shared that what was old will be like made new again. Something will become re-popular. Sometimes things from the 70s get popular again. I don't know exactly what that means, but I see some youth here, and I just encourage the youth to keep continuing to serve God, that he's going to use you in the harvest that's coming. There's going to be a young generation coming in to support you guys. Yeah. So be excited and be on the lookout for that, because he really put that on my heart. So the word that the Lord gave to me when I was praying about today, happy Mother's Day, by the way, and if you're not a mom of children and you're a woman, you're still a mother, because you have the heart of a mom placed within you. So I just welcome every woman here today. But this message also, like Pastor Tim said, could be for all of us. It's definitely for me, so... the Lord said to me, you know, Lisa, I would love to bring newfound freedom to my people. And I know that we've lost some freedoms with COVID and different things like that, but this is something that's time-stamped from the beginning. Freedom is just earmarked through all of Scripture. But sometimes there's things that we need to do. Christ died for it. It's paid for. But there's things that we can do to meet with God to bring newfound freedom, another level of freedom in our lives. So the Lord spoke that word to me, and he said, I'm going to show you some things. So freedom isn't always where we are or the privileges we have. We can see in Scripture very easily Joseph in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament, unfairly prisoned, but these men were completely free. They had complete freedom. Jesus himself being bound and brought before Pontius Pilate with no way really to get out of his circumstance. He could, but he chose not to. He chose to have freedom, even being bound, so that we can have this. But he told Pontius Pilate, you don't have any authority here. As Christians, We have to really always remember that we can choose to be away. We can just choose this freedom that Christ died for us to have. It says Christ died, there's a song, to make us free. So that's the first part. Freedom really is a mindset. It's not a circumstance necessarily. So the Lord gave me 5 points, and I will be pretty succinct. Is that the word I want to use? I'll try not to ramble. The first thing he said to me is God will prepare you for it. The second thing he said to me is God will break down our defenses. The third thing God said is he will call us to a deeper place of intercession. And then the fourth thing he said is he will call us to a greater empathy and compassion for other people. And the fifth thing he said is he will give us an anointing for evangelism. This one threw me off, but because the harvest is coming, I believe that God wants to set us free in areas so that we will be free to evangelize to the lost. So the first verse God drew me to, and I don't have a lot of verses I'm actually going to draw off today. I'm drawing off the Bible and all of it, but the first verse God drew me to was in Exodus, and he was telling his people, he said, celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. This is in Exodus chapter 12, verses 17 through 20. He said, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. Eat nothing made with yeast. No matter where you go, no matter where you live, I want you to have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So before the Israelites walked out in their biggest freedom walk, God had instructed them to do a few things different. I know that there's major spiritual attachment to everything God says, especially with the Passover meal, but he kind of spoke to me a little different about it. He said, Lisa, what is the leaven in your life that holds you back from freedom? And I had to think about it, and actually, if I'm going to be totally honest, I knew right away, one, but how many of you know that then when you tell God that, then you got to do something about it? So I kind of was a little bit hesitant to talk about it. But I said, well, one thing that holds me back, Lord, is I'm not very flexible. So my sister-in-law always says, I know it's not a verse, but she always says, blessed are the flexible. And flexibility is something that we're going to need, especially when the harvest comes in. We're going to need to drop things. We need to make things easier in our life. If anybody has seen yeast, it's like really tiny. And I am not a baker, but I had one of those. Somebody gave me a baking machine, so I said, well, I'm going to try it. And I bought yeast. I'm like, wow, that's really small. But let me tell you, when I opened up that top, that loaf of bread was heavy, was big. So it only takes a little something sometimes in our lives to hold us back, to weigh us down. The Lord was telling them, you can't go on this journey making bread. We don't have time for it to rise. You know, it could get moldy. You know, we're going with no leaven. But how good is it in our life not to have those things that weigh us down? So, yes, it was flexibility, but underneath flexibility is that word that we all hate, and it's called control. So I like to control everything, and that's not going to work. It's never going to work. So this was the first thing God was saying. He was saying, let me instruct you to lighten up the load in your life. As moms and mothers, we have heavy loads every day, but so do we, as our brothers too in here. So there might be some things in your life that you can give over. The second thing God talked about is he said that he wants to break down our defenses. So the Lord brought me to the story of Hannah. This is in 1 Samuel, and Hannah was Samuel's mother, one of the greatest prophets of all time, but she was barren. And to make things worse, her husband had another wife also, which was common back then. Probably not a great idea, but it was. And anyways, she did have children. So she really rubbed this in. She was mean to Hannah. And every year that they would go to sacrifice to the Lord, they'd go to Jerusalem and they would go into the house of the Lord to sacrifice. She was just reminded of her barrenness. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, there's a lot of us that have a barrenness in our lives. It might not be that we're childless, but we have a barren place. And God says, I want to come and I want to fill that barren spot for you today. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. But God is here to tell you that he wants to come and he wants to fill those barren spots. You know, Hannah was before the Lord many times crying out. And this one time she was so distressed that she really let down her defenses. She just was so distressed that the high priest actually thought that she was drunk. And she said, no, this is so heavy on my heart, and I'm just letting this all out. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but Hannah was saying, God, I don't think you really even see me. I've been saying the same thing, and nothing's changing, and I need for you to see me. And it's funny because Eli, the high priest, that's my girlfriend's husband's name, Eli, he said to her, he said, go in peace and the Lord will grant you what you want. And I had to read that a couple times because he didn't know what she wanted. But he said to her, go in peace first. God wants us, no matter where we are in our circumstances, to have peace, and he wants us to operate in that peace first. He does give us what we need. Sometimes we don't always get what we want, but he will always give you what you need. But he wants you to walk out in peace. There's so many times in my life that I go through a problem. God does pull through, but I had no peace through the whole thing. And it's like, what a gift of freedom it is to have peace first and to walk through something into peace. It was interesting too to me because she went back and her first child was Samuel, and his name means God hears me. But I thought to myself, when we have the peace of God and we know that he sees us, we also know that he hears us. And we're not trying to do this on our own. We have a great amount of satisfaction we can walk out our problems in because we know that he's there and that he does see and that he does hear us. If there's any ladies here today or gentlemen that you feel like God just doesn't see me, I assure you he does, and I assure you he wants to tell you today that he wants to meet you in here and give you peace today. We have a perfect high priest, right? So Eli wasn't the perfect high priest, but Jesus Christ is. So that's what's so awesome about that. So the third thing God said is he's going to call us to step out into a deeper place of intercession. So I'm going to call out my sister and my girlfriend because they're intercessors, and we're all intercessors, but there's a place for intercession that can go even deeper in our lives, and it takes it off of us and it puts it on somebody else or a need, and it brings it into the throne room of God, like Pastor Tim was talking about earlier. So he brought me to the story of Esther, which I think everybody knows that story. And she was a young Jewish woman, and she was being raised by a prominent Jewish family member. His name was Mordecai. But as her story begins, there's an opening for the king. She doesn't want to fill it, and I don't really blame her. She was young, and she would have had to go in to live into a different circumstance with some people that did not follow her God. Yet Mordecai encourages her, and we all know the line, you know, for such a time as this. God wants to encourage you ladies today and gentlemen that there's going to be upcoming events and it's going to be your time. And so, like me stepping out in something I don't really like to do, God is wanting to tell you today, I have a time for you, and to be watchful for that. Esther was called to step out of every comfortable norm of her life, to serve as queen with an ungodly ruler. And, you know, she chose to do it to be selfless because Mordecai kind of told her, you know, this, you can be our point person for the Jewish people. You'll have influence, Esther. So in the meanwhile, as the story goes, the Jewish people were about ready to be completely wiped out and annihilated. And Esther was the point person. What's interesting too to me is that she didn't run into the king's throne room. It wasn't a good idea anyways, because you could have your life taken from you. But she said, tell everybody to fast and to pray. In other words, have everybody start to intercede. And so many times I want to just figure out the problem myself or tell God how to fix it. I tell him all the time, you're not listening to me. I think I know what's right. But we had a situation in my family recently, and it was about selling a piece of property, and I won't get into all of it, but it turned out to be a nightmare. We were going to be sued, things we just didn't see. We were losing ground literally daily, and it was distressing us terribly. And my brother-in-law called up one day, and he said, hey, wait a minute, why don't we just go into God's throne room? And you know what? We had peace from that very day. And we trusted the Lord. And when I tell you the Lord pulled through in a bigger way than we could have ever even thought of, a bigger way than we ever even could have thought of. So we have the privilege to partner with God to intercede for others. And this is exactly what Esther did. And she went in, and of course, we all know how the story goes too. She went into the king, she found favor, and the very thing that the enemy was trying to do to the Jews was put back on them. So Esther, she knew that this plot was taking place, but she took the time to fast, to pray. She didn't rush in and save it in her own strength. That's not my strength, but I'm learning that this is where freedom comes. It comes in surrendering how we want to fix something. Instead, we just enter his throne room and he'll give us strategy. There may be some of you here today that need some strategy for something. And I'm telling you that God has it for you and he wants to open this up to you. She also gave her people opportunity to be a part of the victory. I forgot who I was speaking to this morning, but they were talking about how everybody had a little hand in building here and doing things. And it makes you a part of what God is doing in this place. And so this is what God wants too. He doesn't just choose a few people. He chooses all of us when our hearts want to work with him. And he wants to use all of you as this church grows, as this body grows, and he wants to use you in mighty ways, big ways. So be free to go boldly, as Pastor Tim just spoke, boldly into his presence. He says that we can. So the fourth thing that God talked about to me was to have empathy and compassion, a new kind of empathy and a new kind of compassion. So he brought me to the story of Ruth. And I'm using all ladies in these stories because it's Mother's Day, but there's plenty of gentlemen too in the Bible that had all this also. But so Ruth was a Moabite. So they were of the Abrahamic ethnic group, but they did not serve God the way the Jews did. So there was a famine in the land and of Bethlehem, so Naomi and her family went to Moab, to the Moabites. And as it goes, the two sons of Naomi married two Moabite girls. And so I'm kind of thinking it's like a family thing, you know. They're kind of watching and they're gleaning from Naomi probably some things of her God, but they're still living in their world, so to speak. But God said to me, Lisa, I bring outsiders to bring freedom. I don't know how many of you in here have felt like an outsider, but I have felt like an outsider many times in my life. And maybe I was an outsider at one point. I didn't always serve God, but I was thinking about this and I said, you know, I love who God chooses. He chooses the people that just love him. It's a small thing, it's a short thing, but he chooses people that just look at his heart. So she was a Moabite, and after a time, the sons, both the boys died, and Naomi's husband died. So there was a lot of grief going on. I don't know if anybody in here today is grieving something. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person. It could be a lost opportunity, could be a job, it could be many things, and it could be a person. But there's no way to walk around grief. You have to walk through grief. And so Naomi and the two girls were really grieving. So as they go to leave, because now the famine's over, the two girls are starting to leave with Naomi, but Naomi turns to them and says, you know, she even changed her name to Bitter. She's like, this isn't going to work. I can't give you a son. I'm too old. You know, it was very important to carry on lineage in your name. And she said, I can't do that for you. Go back. And the one daughter-in-law did. But Ruth said something interesting. She said, no. I will make your people my people, and I will make your God my God. There was something that Naomi did for Ruth. She showed Ruth God in such a way that Ruth wanted it personally. It would have been easier for her to go back, obviously. She didn't know what was ahead. But she chose also, too, to have empathy and compassion for her mother-in-law. You know, she said, you know, I know you're hurting. I'm hurting. I know you feel like you're at a dead-end scenario, Naomi, but I'm going back with you, and we'll serve God together. I think this, it doesn't say it exactly in scripture, but I think this lifted Naomi up a bit, because when they got back, and I'm really going to paraphrase here, but she kind of was doing a little matchmaking with Boaz. So she was teaching Ruth how a young Jewish woman would court or date a man. And so Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. He was a family member down the line, so he could marry Ruth if there was nobody above him to do it. And she kind of knew this. And so, as the story goes, they get married. But what was interesting to me, too, as I was preparing for this, he was her kinsman redeemer. And Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And both of them were in Bethlehem. So it was like kinsman redeemer to kinsman redeemer. And I thought about this and I thought, you know, when you have empathy and compassion for somebody else, there's really a redemption for you. There's really a redemption that lies in this. When we pray in a place where it's difficult and we're suffering, but yet we're willing to put out for somebody else prayer and love, you know, God sees that. It's like, it's so precious to him. It's like Jesus hanging on the cross, praying for others as he's dying. It's such a precious gift, and it's a selfless gift. It's really a selfless gift. And I said to the Lord, you know, please help me. Please help me, God. To put aside my stuff. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. So I love Ruth's compassion. God made Ruth part of his story because, as it goes, her and Boaz did get married, had children, and the lineage goes right to Joseph, which was Jesus's earthly father. So he honored her throughout generations. Know today that what you do today will be honored throughout generations. God will use that to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. So Just know that. The fifth and the last thing was probably most precious to my heart. And this was an example of biblical newfound freedom found in the New Testament. And I know everybody probably knows this story also. It was the Samaritan woman at the well. And I underlined the underdog. So you can be an outsider and you can be an underdog. And God's got great things. So this story did speak most to my heart. And this woman was not just despised by the Jewish people. Samaritans at the time were despised by the Jewish people. They were only half Jewish. So there was this thing against them. I said the Jewish people, not Jesus. So the other thing was is that she was kind of a banished, kind of put aside person. She wasn't even liked by her own people. Admittingly, she talked about her life, and she admitted that, well, we know she was at the well at the time of day that nobody else was there, because she didn't want to see anybody, and she didn't want anybody to see her. But it's funny, because God stops. And this woman, I love it, because I think she was a little spunkier sometimes than we think. Because Jesus was talking to her, but you know what? She pushed back a little bit, and she asked him a lot of questions. And I think that this is something that we should do. I'm not talking about disrespect, but I feel like if you don't know something or if you're seeking, how else do you know unless you ask God? Don't ever be embarrassed in the presence of the Lord to ask him something you don't understand, because he so wants to communicate with you. So they're at the well, and as the story goes, they're talking about her relationships, and Jesus he doesn't shame her. Jesus will never shame you. If you feel shame, that's not from Jesus. You will feel correction sometimes for your good, but never shame. So he doesn't shame her, and he tells her, listen, I know pretty much everything about your life. I know that you've had 5 marriages. Doesn't say if she left her husbands or if they left her, but I know that you've had 5 failed marriages, and I know you're on your 6th, and you're not even committed to this person. But at that very moment, something just popped into my head, and I said, Lord, you chose this woman to be an evangelist, like probably the first woman evangelist. We always say it's Mary at the tomb, and that's true, but I'm like, I never saw that before. He's kind of prepping her. So he spoke his whole life to her, and I thought, I wonder where she's going to go with it. This woman assumed that he hated her, but she pushed back a little bit. And Jesus was not offended that she pushed back. He really wasn't. So if there's anyone else in here today that has a sea of regrets, like I do, like this woman, it's okay to question God. And it's okay to bring your regrets and all of that to him, because he has something for you past that. Regrets hold us in the place, but he has something past that. She kept going to the same well to get water every day, but in her spiritual life, she was going to the same thing, relationships, men, whatever it was, to give her freedom. And God was drawing this out of her because he wanted to tell her, listen, it's me. I'm the freedom. He couldn't say it right away. Sometimes people need time to come to those places, and you have to really realize, you have to be patient with people, that they need time to come to recognize that they need Jesus. So I've learned that too. He told her, you know, you're going to keep drawing water for your physical thirst, but if you receive me, I will bubble up inside of you consistently, and I will drown out any regrets, any hurt, any pain that you might have, and I'll give you a living water. I go to the same thing sometimes to get my physical or emotional or whatever it is met, the same tub of ice cream at night, the same whatever it is that's going to give me just a few minutes of peace, maybe we want to say. But God says, stop drawing from a well that's not giving you anything. Draw from me. I'll stay with you. I'm looking at you right now. This woman stayed and talked to Jesus because she saw that he actually was talking with her. He wasn't accusing her. He wasn't pointing a finger at her. He cared about her. And this kept her engaged in the conversation. He took time with her. How often is it that I'm at a store or something and God will lay on my heart, there's somebody next to me or something that needs just a touch of God? You know, I can't tell you, but there's been a lot of times I've ignored that and I've gone on. I don't want to take the time. I'm busy. I got something else to do. And yet the times that I've listened to the Lord, I cannot tell you one time that people do not receive love or prayer or encouragement. So any time that God might ask you to do that, and he will, remember this woman and what Jesus did for her. So she did say to him eventually, please let me have this water so I won't need to come back to the well. So the Lord did tell her that he was this living water. This is where the story to me gets really good, because she starts asking him also too about worshiping. She said, we worship here. You Jews worship here. What's it going to be? She knew he was a prophet. She knew that he was a Jew. She was starting to come into what he was saying. And he basically, it was the born again message. Very quickly, he said, you're asking me about where to worship. And we have to worship somewhere. It's important to be a part of the body of Christ. But God said, I'm telling you, that's not where your freedom lies. Your freedom's going to lie in who you worship. And I'm telling you, it's me. She said, well, I know there's a Messiah coming. And he said, I'm it. It's me. You're talking to the Messiah. I'm the one. This woman went back to her community and to the people she knew. These people couldn't stand her. But there was something that Jesus does. When we come to him, he so changed her that her complete mess was now a message. Her whole village came out to see Jesus. They ran to where he was because they saw something in her that had changed, something that was permanent, something that was attractive. When you wear Jesus, I'm telling you, people will come to you. And they'll come to you where you are. You will have great influence wherever you are led to be. At Bethel, they call it kingdom living. Pastor Ron's big on this. Pastor Tim, I'm sure, is too. You don't keep the kingdom in. You bring it out. So you bring it wherever you're going. If it's at work, it's at work. If it's a school, it's a school. If you're a mom and you're home all day, guess what? You have kids that need an evangelist. They're not just going to come to it on their own. I encourage you, no matter where you are in life, that God has a ministry for you. If he could use this woman to bring an entire people group to the Lord that day, I'm telling you that he can use you, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use me. Don't ever allow your past to hold back that testimony. That is the enemy. He wants to keep you bound in what you did before. And God said, you know, when you trust me, when you let me become the living water, there is no bounds. There's nothing that's going to hold you back. He even used her to kind of school the disciples. So they had come back and they saw him talking to her, and they didn't say anything because they knew that Jesus was a little out of the box by this point. But they're like, a Samaritan woman on top of it. Do you know who she is? Kind of attitude, right? And so they said to Jesus, you know, what about lunch? What are we going to have to eat? And the Lord uses this example. And of course we need food. I hope everyone has a great day of food today, but the Lord uses this example. He said, you know, the food that you're going to have to start depending on is what my Father's asking you to do, his will. That's my food. That's what comes first, in other words. And he said, look at these people coming. Do you see the harvest? Do you see it? We need workers. I don't need people worried about these daily things that will be met. By now you should know I'll meet your needs. What I need is for a people that are so hungry for souls. This woman was hungry for souls, and the Lord used her to teach his disciples to be hungry for souls. I did have that short word in the beginning for this church, but I really feel like God is saying to you and to all of us that souls are coming. Prepare, because he wants to use you. He wants to use your lives, each and every single person. You're never past something. You're never, until your last breath here, you have purpose. And God will use you till your very last breath here. Me and my husband have a friend who's 99. She went to Bethel for many years, and she's housebound now, and we go to see her. When I tell you, we leave there more filled than when we go. We're supposed to help her. She prays for us. We're supposed to do something for her. She sings a song to us. I said, how do you do this, Fern? We're coming to bless you, and yet you bless us. So, in closing, I just want to say this. We lost my mom in November, just 8 weeks after we lost my dad. And we took care of my parents, both of them, in their home, and we were blessed to do it. It was hard, hardest thing we ever did, but the most blessed thing. But my mom used to say to us all the time, throughout our whole lives, she would say to us, the best thing I can ever tell you, even in her dementia, when she knew us no longer, she would think we were workers or something. She would say, I want to just tell you this. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. What more could you want? That's what she was saying. What more could you want? I just want you to know today that the Lord God, he loves you guys. He's got big plans for your future. He's got plans for this place. He wants to light a fire here in this region. He wants to use you for that. He won't leave you in it. He won't forsake you in it. If anybody... Pastor Tim said that would be okay, needs prayer today. My husband, my sister, my girlfriend, we would come up. My brother-in-law will stand in prayer with you if you need prayer for emotional healing, physical healing, anything that we would love to agree with you and enter the throne room of God with you. So if that is something you need, please feel free to come up. And thank you for letting me share this today with you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this beautiful fellowship this morning. You guys got something really special here. And like I said, I felt it in the parking lot. So thank you very much.
I'd like to have you all stand, if you would, please. So if that's your first time doing this, where do you go from here, right? You did a masterful job, and I know it was the Lord. And you know, I knew this from my conversation with Julia, but I didn't put, forgive me, this is how dense I can be sometimes, I didn't put two and two together. This is Lisa's first Mother's Day without her mom, and you saw the emotion, you know, at times, and that, I think, may have been a big part of that, I don't know, but so, you know, she could be home, you know, just kind of wallowing in, in all, but she accepted the opportunity to come and to give out of her experience and out of her even pain, maybe to some degree, and her sense of loss. There's a lesson in there for us all. Amen? Amen. So I want you to take advantage of this opportunity that she just expressed. I think Lisa's more comfortable one-on-one praying with folks than maybe so much being in front of a congregation, and that's really where she shines and where she ministers. So as we dismiss the service, I really, really want you to avail yourself of the opportunity. for mom's day, you know, like she said, her brother-in-law and husband and such. So this is for anybody. So I just open the altar again, you know, we don't have to always have music playing and such like that. But please. So would you come up, you know, if you want prayer, would you just step out of your seat and just come up right now and just let them minister to you. Anybody? Just want to take that, be that first one to take a step. I know sometimes it's hard. Pardon me? All right. As soon as Richard's wife gets back. Anybody? Come on. You, this is an opportunity for you to seek the Lord and to be ministered to. Right? Don't leave this opportunity. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just work. God, I know you're working. What a tremendous word. What a tremendous word of encouragement and hope. And I thank you, Father God, that Lisa was just willing to share out of her life, out of her experience, out of what you've spoken to her. And I know that her heart is overflowing to want to share and minister to others. So we just pray that you provide that opportunity. We thank you for it. And just thank you for this special day. Pray your blessing on each one, on the moms and everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you can be dismissed, but the altar is open, and I really, really, really encourage you to avail yourself of that. And so you guys can just come and just kind of hang here, and as folks come and just want ministry. God bless.